6:32 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, solving the problems of the world during the breaks. Anyway.
Trying to get a loan from Harper. I was trying to get his number from Morris, but he wouldn't answer.
Let's bring in our Vols insider, Jimmy Himes. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
Great. I didn't think I would lead with this, but I we got to talk about it first. Vanderbilt women beating the Lady Vols for the first time ever in Knoxville last night. And right now the Lady Vols sitting outside the NCAA tournament bubble.
Yeah, that was a shocker. Vanderbilt was 0-33 in Knoxville. And Tennessee jumped out to a pretty good lead, and then Vanderbilt chipped away. And once they chipped away, game on. And Tennessee's defense was non-existent. Vanderbilt shot about 53%. I would say the majority of those shots were layups. And Tennessee got out-rebounded 34-22. And the staple of this program for the Lady Vols has been rebounding. And that's an effort stat. And there wasn't a whole lot of effort, it didn't look like to me, from Tennessee. That was senior night also. They recognized a couple of their seniors. One of their seniors was a player from England. Her mother came over to watch her play for the first time. I thought it was kind of an embarrassing performance by the Lady Vols. But give Vanderbilt credit, but my goodness. And right now, and Tennessee's been in every NCAA tournament since it started in 1982, so they've been to all 38. Right now, when you look at their resume, you can make a really strong case they don't deserve to go. And I thought for sure they would beat Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, and then I felt like they'd have to win a game in the SEC tournament to make it. But I think this is a team that is will not make it the NCAA tournament.
And if you're Philip Fulmer last night, Vanderbilt has nothing to play for other than to beat Tennessee. Tennessee should be fighting to get into the tournament. Yeah. It's like you said, no sense of urgency from the Lady Vols. Vanderbilt out-rebounds them by 12. And to me, Jimmy, Holly Warlick, we all agree, a lovely person, delightful human being. But there's no way that that Fulmer can keep her as coach after this season. Do you agree?
It would appear that way, yeah. And here's the thing. If you look at the through the years, her first three seasons at Tennessee, they won either the SEC tournament or the SEC regular season. Since then, they haven't accomplished much. They have not threatened to go to the Final Four. They have not made the Sweet 16 a couple of times. They have not performed at the level that they expect of this program. Now, they have recruited well. They have good players. Not great, but they have good players. Good enough to where they shouldn't be going through this kind of a funk. But this program is not where anybody expects it to be. And right now, it would be really hard to envision that Holly Warlick will be the coach next year. I'll give you a quick stat that I thought was pretty interesting. The last 4 years in SEC play, the Lady Vols were 35-28. The previous 19 years, they were 248-28. That's a heck of a difference. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for Holly to keep the job.
All right, segueing to the men, and just, you know, before we set up the Vols in Kentucky, I'll let Blaine do that. As far as the game against Ole Miss, Jimmy, you know, obviously I thought Tennessee played with a lot more poise. You know, they showed that they are a veteran team with the way they executed down the stretch against the Rebels.
Yeah, they did, and they held Ole Miss to 2 out of 9 shooting. Late in the game, Ole Miss didn't have a field goal the last 2:48 or so of the game. So Tennessee played with good defense. They did what they needed to do on the last second shot, and that's get the ball to Grant Williams. And he had to power his way through 2 or 3 Ole Miss players to get the basket, but he did it. Then Schofield took the charge, a risky play, admittedly, by Schofield and Rick Barnes, but I thought it was the right call. And so Tennessee pulls one out, and they were fortunate that Ole Miss missed the front end of a 1-1 by an 83% free throw shooter. But as unfortunate as they were against LSU, they were pretty fortunate in this one. But it was much needed. If this team wants to win the SEC and if this team harbors any hopes of being the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, they had to beat Ole Miss, and they did. And that's a pretty good Ole Miss team, in particular at Oxford.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was a good win for Tennessee.
Speaking of Jimmy Himes, of course, our Vols insider from Sports Radio WNML.
Yes, Jimmy, I guess with that win, where do you think they rank if they, in the tournament, NCAA tournament, if they beat Kentucky and continue on this pace of winning the end of the season? Do you really believe that they'll be a number one seed, or will they be a number two seed?
Well, they have to do more than just beat Kentucky. If they beat Kentucky, it depends on what other people are doing.
Uh-huh.
They would replace Kentucky on the one line if you look at it that way. So they would have a better resume than Kentucky. But that depends on what other teams around them do. So, which includes the Michigan State, and of course, Duke and Virginia and some of those teams. So, Gonzaga as well. By the way, I looked at Gonzaga. I thought this was interesting. The average, and I know that the NCAA goes by net, but the average RPI of the teams that Gonzaga has beaten this year is like 151. That's not very good, but still they're ranked number one. Back to your question, Tennessee has to beat Kentucky to give them a chance to go back to number one. Joe Lunardi spoke at a Big Orange Tip-Off Club Wednesday. He said absolutely Tennessee could work its way back to a one seed, but they got to take care of business. It starts with beating Kentucky. I would have trouble seeing Tennessee get to a number one seed if they lose to Kentucky, because Kentucky's going to take that away. The second part of that is they pretty much have to win out to get there. And if they do, I'll say this, if Tennessee wins out, I'll be shocked if they're not a one seed. I think they would move to that level. That's a tall order to win out. That means you probably have to beat Kentucky twice.
And on the women's side, I wanted to ask this question. I know Former gave her an extension and to help get the recruiting up to the level they wanted to, but I can't recall her contract, but didn't he have an out after 1 or 2 years where it wasn't something that it was fully guaranteed? I can't remember. Could you, address that?
Yeah, so the way I recall that contract, now he gave her a raise of about $25,000 or $50,000. She makes less than $700,000. That's still good money, but it puts her in the middle of the pack of the SEC women's coaches. I think that's correct. Pretty sure that's right. Here's the deal, as I recall it. If she were to be fired after this year, she would get 60% of the remaining contract. That's the way that is worded. So she would have 2 years left on the contract. That's close to $1.4 million. She'd get 60% of that. That would be her pay. There are others that I have talked to pretty close to her that think that she would resign. I'm not sure she would resign without getting paid, but I think that that's probably what would occur if they part ways.
Just from a general point, you watch them more than we do with Holly and her crew and her ladies. What is just really the huge issue with them, why they haven't had success? Because they've recruited really well. I mean, what's the issue? What's the main issues?
I'll put it this way, in my opinion. One of the reasons the men's program here is so good is they play together and they have great chemistry.
Right.
I would suggest the opposite exists with the Lady Vols. They don't play together. They don't have real good chemistry. They don't play good defense a lot of the time. They make silly mistakes in decision making. They make risky passes. More often than not, they'll have more turnovers than assists during the course of the game. There's just not any cohesiveness, in my opinion, with this team, and the effort level is not always there. It's kind of alarming after a game when you hear Holly say, "Boy, we played hard." Well, you should play hard in every game, but they don't. And I didn't think they played very hard last night.
I have some good friends who watch them on a daily basis every game, and they feel like their development, like they're still the same players when they got there. I don't know. How do you see that?
I think lack of player development is a part of this program's problem. I do. I don't see some of these players getting much better. Look, some have gotten better, but not enough.
Uh-huh.
Unlike with the men's program where 4 out of 5 get better. With the women's program, you can't say that. And so I think that's been one of the concerns, is the players just don't get better. They don't develop. And to me, they don't play with a very good basketball IQ. And here's another thing. I think they have some really good athletes on that team. I'm not sure how many basketball players they've got. And I think there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And they don't have very many good shooters. Their shooting percentage on average from 3-point range is something like 32%. They just don't recruit enough good shooters, in my opinion. They recruit too many athletes that are not pure basketball players, and I think that's hurt them as well.
All right. On the other side, we'll talk to Jimmy Moore about Tennessee and Kentucky, talk about spring football. 6:43 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. 6:48 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, our producer Morgan Alexander, Kevin off today. We continue with our Vols insider, Jimmy Himes. And Jimmy, of course, tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena, the rematch between Kentucky and Tennessee. And the first thing I want to ask you is, what adjustments do you think Rick Barnes makes in the way that they defend P.J. Washington?
Well, one thing, they can't let him go to the right. I thought that he got most of his baskets were on plays in which he had a little short jump hook or a little shot going to his right. And you cannot do that. You got to force him to go left, make him shoot with his left hand, or make him try to shoot across his body. I thought that was one mistake Tennessee made defending him. The other thing is Tennessee's got to be more physical. One of the assistant coaches, Mike Schwartz, said that Kentucky mopped the floor with Tennessee physically, and they physically outperformed Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, who are actually two physical players. But the edge went to Kentucky in that game. It went to Washington and their interior players in that game. So those are a couple of things. Here's the other thing to watch for. Kentucky went to the foul line. It was almost like 2-1 versus Tennessee on free throw attempts. That needs to change. Tennessee needs to get to the foul line more often than Kentucky if the Vols want to win this game.
What about, the absence of Reed Travis, who, you know, for Kentucky, who made such an impact in the game in Lexington? You know, that's kind of, you know, helped Tennessee out a little bit.
You would think. The Kentucky since then hasn't lost. Now, they had a scare against Arkansas, but they won easily the game before without him. I certainly think he can make a difference. But one of the things about Kentucky, in this sense, they're a little bit like Tennessee. On a given night, they can have somebody step up and play really well. Tyler Hero had, 29 against Arkansas, missed one shot. He was outstanding.
Oh, it's great.
Higgins can play. Washington can play. Nick Richards came off the bench for 15 rebounds against Arkansas. So they have a number of players. Johnson can have a big game. They got a number of players that could step up and have a huge game, just like Tennessee could. One thing that's bothered Tennessee, I think, as you guys know, they've been hit with the flu bug. Jordan Bowden had the flu when they played at LSU, and then Kyle Alexander played a limited amount in the most recent game because he was battling the flu. They actually went in and tried to disinfect the training room and the Lady Vols locker room because of that flu bug. I'm sure they tried to do that on the men's team, but I know that the Lady Vols were trying to avoid that. How you disinfected. I heard that they were doing these like spray bombs to get rid of the virus that's potentially there. But that's been bothering Tennessee. Whether that impacts anybody or not in this game, and whether everybody's healthy or not, I don't know that yet.
What about getting Grant Williams involved in the game offensively early?
Got to. He had four shots in the first game at Kentucky, and two of them were three pointers. Now, to his credit, he made the 2 3 pointers. He also took more than two other shots. I get that because he was at the foul line. He got fouled on some of them. He needs to get 12 to 15 shots in this game, and not counting the ones in which he is fouled. He has got to be more involved. Now, I will say this. Kentucky's length inside bothered him a little bit. The physicality bothered him a little bit. The officials in the first half of that game let him play. It looked like a rugby match out there. The second half, they started calling almost every touch foul. So it was woefully inconsistent. That's not what you want out of an officiating crew. But, he's got to get involved. He's got to get engaged. Here's the other thing, too. When the first to go round, when they played Kentucky, I said Tennessee to win that game had to shoot about 40% from three-point range. They weren't even close. They are going to have to hit some outside shots because Kentucky inside is extremely good defensively. So Tennessee is going to have to be able to hit some perimeter shots.
And, Jimmy, just in terms of the way this team feels about itself, and I understand that, you know, it's a must-win in terms of at least hanging in there to maybe win the SEC. But if you're Rick Barnes, you do not want to go into the postseason having lost twice to Kentucky and once to LSU, the other two good teams in the conference. So what about it from that context?
I asked Rob Lanier, associate head coach, the other day after the LSU loss, does this put a dent in the confidence at all? He said, no, we're at that time 24-3. But I still think that some of these close calls and the way they're playing, I think they've got to be a little bit concerned. I don't think every individual player is all that confident. Jordan Bowden's been in a slump. Turner's been in a slump. Now, Turner came out of that slump in the last game. But Bowden hit a key shot against Ole Miss. Maybe that snapped him out of it. It wasn't a three-pointer. He was 0 for whatever from three-point range. But I just don't think this team's playing as well. They're not as sharp as they were earlier this year. They don't pass the ball and move it as well. They're not racking up as many assists as they did earlier. They had a three-game stretch where they averaged 11 assists, but on the season they're averaging 20. So you're just not playing as well. This team right now would lose to the January Vols by at least 10, in my opinion. I just think they've fallen off a little bit. Can they get it back? Yes, they can. Heck, I remember years ago, Florida lost 5 out of 6 SEC games and then won the national championship. But this team is not quite as sharp, and they need to regain some of that. They need to play a little bit better defense, and they need to pass the ball better and not have it sit in somebody's hands for 12 or 15 seconds, somebody dribbling around.
Speaking of Jimmy Himes, our Vols insider.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, speaking of that, what if, you know, Tennessee gets off to a slow start? What adjustments do you think Coach Barnes would make with the team to kind of get it going? And you can say all you want to, this is a rivalry, they beat you and everything, but sometimes it just happens that way in basketball. Would you ever see him trying to defensively? Because I don't think they've been playing well defensively to a certain extent, especially the guard play, doing some form of a soft press, a full court press or anything like that for a change up?
They've done some of that where it's kind of a token press. They want the other team to take a little bit more time to get up court. That means when they get into their offense, they're 15 to 17 seconds left sometimes, and that's what they would like. And then you're asking, and then the other team has got to hurry it up to find a good shot. And if you rush the shot, then hopefully your defense is going to come out ahead on most of those occasions. The other thing that they've done a little bit, because they have had trouble with on-ball defense, and they've had trouble with guards penetrating, is to play a zone. So they have played some zone. Now, sometimes when you play a zone, that can affect your rebounding because there's some holes in it as far as the other team to get offensive rebounds. But I think he may mix it up a little bit. But I think the big key to this for Tennessee defensively is their on-ball defense. They have got to keep Higgins from penetrating or any other guard or perimeter player from penetrating to the basket. That has been too easy for opponents in some of the recent games.
And I'm looking for Alexander to step it up. I don't know if he was one of the guys being sick or not, but he's kind of fell off a little bit here in his presence in the paint as well as contributing, you know, offensively as much as he had before.
Now, you're right about that. Now, he had the flu against Ole Miss. That's why he played a limited amount. He started, played a couple of minutes, came back in much later in the first half, but he was not himself. You could tell it. And he didn't have the spring in his legs either. But a game against Kentucky, he needs to show up. He's had a stretch where he's averaged like 3 points and 3 rebounds. That's not good enough. Even if you play good defense, that's not good enough. They need more from him than that. And he is not a physical player. Kentucky's a very physical inside team. But he needs to show up more. Against Kentucky, to me, you would want him to get, 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I think that would be an acceptable line for him against Kentucky. He wasn't near that in the first meeting in Lexington.
Jimmy, great stuff as always, and we'll speak to you again on Monday.
Okay, guys, thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right, Jimmy Himes bringing it. All right, straight ahead, we're going to give away Tennessee basketball tickets, by the way, to the game against Mississippi State Tuesday in Knoxville, and a retirement undone. Somebody's coming back. Should we have been surprised? 6:57 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.